If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
This podcast is brought to you by ReRaw Irish Lager, a light, fresh lager independently owned and brewed in County Wicklow. Thanks, ReRaw.
Phoning it in. Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
Hello and welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. We're going to kick things off this week with our topic of the week. This week we're talking about revenge gone awry. Valerie, you tried to get revenge on your cheating husband Mike, but it backfired. What happened?
That's right, Dave. Yeah. My plan was basically that when he'd come home from work, that I'd be in bed with a load of lads because I had caught him. I'd seen what he'd done on his phone, you know, his nudes and all.
He'd nudes
on the phone.
Now, were these just photos that somebody had sent him, or had he downloaded them, or what?
I'd say someone had sent them. I saw them in the messaging app. What you call that messaging app?
WhatsApp?
WhatsApp.
Okay. So you saw that in his phone. You're like, he's cheating on me. I'm going to get a bunch of lads around and have sex with him. And then he's going to see that?
Well, I wasn't going to necessarily have sex with him. Okay. But I just said, look, I'm going to have the hottest men in town. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have them all naked in me bed. Mm-hmm. That'll give him a bit of perspective. Mm-hmm. So when he comes up the stairs, he'll say, geez, she's desirable. She's getting a bit of this and a bit of that. And then he might think twice about straying away himself, do you know, that kind of way.
It was a smart plan.
I thought so. Yeah. Because the other option is you flip out and you go nuts. And I said, no, I'm going to take, this is sort of the Oprah way of doing things, you know.
Why is it the Oprah way of doing things?
Just more spiritual, I suppose.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't strike me as being particularly Oprah-like or spiritual, but whatever. It's you know, it was your method. What happened?
Well, I put a message out to my friends. I said, look, if you know any good looking lads, I'll pay them €50. Come over, I'll grease them up. And the problem was, three of the lads came over and they robbed the gaff.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, the word got out. And so he comes home, instead of finding these three hottie, greased up men and me riding around in my underwears that I just got that day and done, so that was another expense.
Yeah.
The place was absolutely fleeced.
And were you there when they robbed us?
I was there, but the thing is, they said, put on a blindfold, that'll be good, that'll look great. Yeah. You know, he'll come up and you'll be looking kinky and all.
Yeah.
And we'll be all greased up, I promise to God, you know.
Yeah.
And they were moving around and I thought, okay, cool, they're just setting up and what have you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, he came up the stairs, boom, boom, boom. What the hell's happened here? Where's me TV?
And then they were gone with all your stuff.
They're gone. And I'm just lying there like a feckin' AJ with me titty tassels and
blindfold
and so now he's mad at me and I'm just saying, here, you're the one with the nudie pics on your phone.
Right. And what did he say to that?
Well, he says, well, you know, we don't even have, he goes on about the insurance, you never paid content insurance, and
you get down there.
And I said, no, come here, come back to me. You never, what's the story with this?
The
you
phone.
On your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he'd say, oh, no, you know, I coach the GA team and they're sending me their gains. You know, he teaches this Mudders and Udders team, GA team in Temple Oak. Mudders and Udders, you know, and Mudders and people who are Udders, you know.
Oh,
and,
okay.
You know.
I've never heard that before.
No, yeah. But so he's put them on a special plan. They're supposed to be having X number of chicken nuggets and X number of this and that. You know what they do with you. But they're supposed to be putting on a bit of muscle mass for the new season.
Sure.
And he's trying to tell me these young ones,
showing
him their gains.
Yeah.
I said, well, some gains on their, or they're looking for gains on their bosoms. Sunshine. But anyway, I don't have a leg to stand on because the whole place is fleece. They took the fridge freezer, the whole thing.
Did you explain to him what you had been doing?
I didn't actually. And right. I that's why I thought maybe, you know, I thought, geez, I need some bridge back here. So I said, I'll ring you, Dave. You give advice and you're very good.
Yeah, well, Mike's been listening in. Mike.
Yes, hello, Dave, hello.
You heard what happened? You heard that this was an attempt?
Oh, I heard what happened.
Yeah, the Valerie was trying to get revenge and it backfired.
Yeah, well... what do I want to do?
I don't know.
I want to get revenge.
On her?
On the guys who stole all the stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
So.
But just before we get to them, these photos that were on your phone.
Yes.
You expect us to believe that that's people from your mothers,
you to believe it.
Mothers
and others.
GA team. Sending you nudie pics to show you.
Nudie pics.
Yeah.
Yeah, just on how many chicken nuggets they've been eating. So they're actually, you can see there are a series of them. So first photo is them in the nip with 6 chicken nuggets. And then one by one, you can see them eating the chicken nuggets and making those gains, Dave. It's but like a flick book.
Why are they naked though?
How are you going to see gains if they're wearing a big tracksuit, Dave? Will you cop on to yourself?
Right. How many different women had sent you these photographs?
GAA has 14, 11, 10. Listen, I'm not big on the details. 15 of them, Dave.
And he's there coaching this team. Do you know what I mean? Like, what's
Well, we can only get so many, you know.
So many on the team.
On the team after they, you know... They find out the training regime. They're like, I can't eat chicken nuggets and send photos of you all the time. Like, I this wasn't really what I signed up for. Like, okay, well, that's, you know, I'm the manager here. These are my methods.
Yeah. They are unorthodox methods.
They're unorthodox.
I mean, do they work? Are you winning games?
I'm not ready for the team to go ahead with any games yet.
Okay, so are you just getting them
just
to...
Games. Before games. Yeah, that's one of the team
games
mottos.
Before games.
Yes. Okay. Until each of the team can pick up a tractor tire and use it as a hula hoop, then we're not taking on any other teams.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I have a GAA photographer on the line, Curly Sassoon. Curly, what did you have to say about this? Is this standard practice?
Yeah. This has been brought in earlier on this year. Standard practice across all the GAA that if you're training, you have to be able to show your manager, your banished door, your gains.
Yeah.
The only way to do this is through nude chicken nugget eating.
But could you not?
There we go.
Could they not at least have underwear on?
Impossible. Right? That's going to add to... the look, so you know.
Yeah, you can fake it. You can fake it with underwear. You know, if you get, if you start out with kind of, for lack of a better word, dumpy underwear, and then you get sexier as you go along, then it's going to look like gains.
Yeah,
but really,
or you could stuff the underwear.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
don't mind me.
Like,
sorry, no, that's just something that Curly does.
Are you friends with Curly?
Oh, yeah, Curly is the one who told me about this new thing. It's standard across all the GAA.
And you weren't,
it's all the way
you weren't
across
that interested
all the
GAA. In GAA before this.
Oh, I've never heard of it. I don't even know how many people are on the team.
Yeah.
But you're one of the best.
Oh, thank you.
You're one of the best.
In what really? Sense is he one of the best, Curly?
He's so dedicated. He's always messaging his players and saying, you haven't sent the photos in. Where are the photos?
Yeah.
Curly says you haven't been letting them in. Like, Curly's outside your house right now.
Oh, you're it's taking the photos?
I'm taking the photos, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's...
In the lashing rain.
In the lashing rain.
Valerie, you've gone very quiet over there. You're...
That's the sound of disgust.
Yeah.
Hey, look, don't judge, okay? You're having... Trying to have weird, you know...
I was doing what anyone would do in the same situation,
Curly. You got blindfolded by a man who wasn't your husband and you got robbed... And you judge me for taking beautiful pictures in the rain of women in the nude eating chicken nuggets? And you blame...
It is unusual, Curly.
It is unusual to want to be blindfolded.
Let's be clear.
Why fetishize a disability? Why don't you have someone come over and put you in an iron lung?
Well, you're fetishizing, people eating chicken
I'm
nuggets.
I'm not fetishizing anything. That's my job. I know it's more fetishized
in the
women
rain.
Than, you know, eating chicken nuggets.
I feel like
the worst thing that's ever happened to my marriage is the day that my husband met Curly. in the morgue in Temple Oak and got chatting about cameras. And then the next thing.
Yeah.
He's coaching
in the morgue.
Mothers and orders.
Yeah.
This friendship is toxic.
No, it's not. Love. I was just using the photocopier in the morgue to get a copy of some, you know, body parts.
Yeah. He was carting the bodies over to the photocopier and slapping them on to get some photocopies of various parts of the body.
Man,
and you can reconstruct a human with that. And you turn up to a funeral in a suit you made out of photocopies of the dead person's body parts, and you're going to turn some heads.
Why are you trying to turn heads at a funeral?
I mean, have you ever been to a funeral? They're dull as dishwater.
They are dull. So you're just trying to liven up funerals?
Well, no, just that this is... I'm not setting out to liven up funerals. I want to look nice. If I happen to look nice at a funeral, then...
You want to look nice by photocopying dead bodies' body parts and sticking them to your body.
Yes, yeah.
I don't think that's going to look nice. I think it's going to look really creepy and weird.
Yeah. I think it's a tribute. Yeah. I think it's a beautiful tribute.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful to the person tribute. Who died?
To death in general.
To life and death and everything. So anyway, I met in the morgue and I came back to Valerie and I was like, I've met the most wonderful man, Valerie. I can't wait to tell you about him.
Right. And
we actually had a very happy and... I would say respectful relationship up until that point, until Curly got his curly little fingers into our dynamic.
Mm.
Yeah, clearly I'm the one at fault here when you are the one wishing she was blind. And if that isn't a smack in the face to Stevie Wonder, I don't know what is. It would be more respectful if you went over and headbutted him.
Very protective of Stevie Wonder. So anyway, listen, Dave, I have vowed... to get revenge.
On who?
On the lads that stole our TV.
Right, okay, yeah.
So I am going to, between myself and yourself, I'm going to try and seduce these lads.
Okay.
Yeah. And get the three of them back to their place. Right. And now...
What if they live in three different places?
Three
new tellies.
Three new tellies. Well, that possibly three new tellies, but I'm also going to try and get two of them evicted.
Okay.
So they have to move in together.
Oh, and simple then as that, yeah. And then you'll get back to their place.
And then I'll get back to their place. I'm going to dress as a sexy woman.
Yeah.
Using photocopies of body parts.
From the images you have.
From the images that I have. This is a new thing. So Curly's going to go around now instead of with the camera. He's going to go around with a photocopier to the women's homes and be like, right, pop yourself on that.
Can you not just use the photographs? Can you not just print those out?
How am I going to photocopy my phone?
Yeah, you need
that's
to
That's going to be tiny, Dave. I would have to like tell the lads that I'm miles away if I've just got like that. I could only stick it on like my forehead.
No, if you enlarge it and print it.
Enlarge the phone.
No.
You need a photocopier to do it.
You need a photocopier.
You'd have one anyway.
A printer.
Have you ever put a photocopier on a photocopier, Dave? How's that going to work?
All right, look.
Shrink inside itself.
It's a good plan. Valerie, are you on board for this plan where he seduces the guys and steals your stuff back, I guess? Maybe steals some of their stuff?
Absolutely not. I mean, I just suggest we go to the Garda station and report the stuff stolen. That was my suggestion.
Yeah. You'd be wasting your time.
Nah, you'd be wasting your time.
Yeah, they'd never get it back for you.
Fucking pigs in this town.
Oh, okay, Curly, come on. We have to still, you know, live. We can't burn all our bridges. Okay, guys, well, maybe when you've seduced them, Mike, you'll call back in and let us know how it went. Maybe Valerie, maybe you'd help him seduce them and it could be a way to kind of bring you guys back together.
Go on, so I'll do your nails and I'll do your makeup.
Thank you, Valerie. Thank you. This really means a lot to me.
We're bringing people.
And I'll teach you at the dance of the seven veils to help seduce these three.
Shut up, Curly.
Okay. Or do you want to teach the dance of the seven veils?
Do you know?
I didn't think so.
I'm not even talking to you.
Okay. Well, look, somebody's got to teach him the dance of the seven veils. So, listen, best of luck at that. Thank you guys for phoning it in.
Thanks very much, Dave.
Thanks.
I want to talk to you about ReRaw Irish Lager, who are kindly sponsoring this podcast. It is a light, fresh, locally made Irish lager, and it has been crafted to celebrate the best bits of being Irish, like enjoying a few cans while watching Ireland play in the Rugby World Cup. When you get a chance, and there's a match coming up, grab yourself a taste of refreshing ReRaw Lager. Thanks, ReRaw. We're talking this week about revenge gone awry. Dean, you tried to get revenge on your ex-business partner and ended up making him rich.
Yeah.
What happened, Dean?
So I had this patent, and it was a way for people to be able to understand animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that, you know, this could spell disaster for a lot of big companies who rely on us not being able to understand animals to sell their goods.
Right, like McDonald's or something.
Yeah. Or like, you know, if you're talking to, you know, people who sell, you know, like dog toys and things like that, they're worried that if a dog gets access to a machine that will allow it to speak English, it'll say, "This toy is not good. I do not like this toy.
I don't want any of these toys.
I yearn for freedom.
Yeah.
I yearn to be free."
Yeah.
So, as a prank, I put my old partner's name, Dean, on it. Oh, wait, no, I'm Dean.
You're Dean, yeah.
We're both called Dean.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
you put his name on the patent?
Yeah.
Okay.
I put his name on the patent.
That was a prank.
Yeah. Because I thought, oh, he's going to get killed.
Oh, by all these shady organizations.
Pet food organizations. Yeah. The pet lobby's very powerful.
Yeah, yeah. And the beef lobby, yeah. Sure.
And the people lobby is huge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it backfired. Now Dean is one of the richest men in the world.
Okay, so he took that patent. He made the product.
Yeah. Well, no, I put it out there. I did all the work.
Yeah.
And I made sure all the money was going to go to him.
I mean, that royally backfired.
I suppose it did.
Yeah.
It's not that he just said it out loud there that I realized. It's a bit silly. Maybe I should have kept the money myself.
Well, yeah.
No.
I mean, that would have been the best kind of revenge, I suppose. Would have been.
Oh, such a stupid asshole.
Wait, what are you trying to get revenge on him for?
Oh, God. Oh.
Dean, what had he done to you that you did this to him?
We got breakfast a few weeks ago and I paid for it and he didn't thank me.
Okay. Well, it has
tenor.
This has backfired dramatically. So I want to bring on the other Dean.
Hey, how are you, Dave? Yeah.
Dean, you have this patent.
Dave, I'm in bits here.
Why are you in bits?
I'm in bits here. Fucking all kinds of people coming after me, you know?
Why?
Did you not listen to what Dean was just telling you?
Oh, sorry, yeah, but it's...
The patent is in my name,
yes,
Dean.
But he seems to make that it actually hadn't gone the way he wanted that, and instead...
Oh, I got a bunch of money.
Yeah,
I got a bunch of money.
Yeah.
But the beef lobby, the pet lobby, the people lobby, they're all coming after me.
Right, okay. And what have they done?
They keep enlarging my shoes.
Right. Why? What? Why?
I don't know, David. So I don't know what's coming anymore. Like, the whole world is just pranks to me now. So I get into my shoes. I'm like, I don't remember these being a foot high off the ground. And I bump it into, like, door frames and stuff. And I'm, in bits here.
They're all playing pranks on you?
Everybody's playing pranks on me. They're coming after me.
Yeah. Dean, this wasn't you doing the shoes thing, was it?
Yeah, it might have been, yeah.
Because that does seem your kind of speed.
Well, I teamed up with the funniest man in the world to make a few little pranks happen.
Who's the funniest man in the world?
Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe you had to ask that.
Yeah,
you're
sorry.
In the entertainment
yeah,
world.
Yeah. No, I just, I forgot. I thought maybe it was, I don't know, I thought you were talking about somebody else.
Oh, like Tom Holland.
Yeah.
He's back down to number two.
Okay, right. Yeah. So
and I keep going backwards and forwards between the two.
Yeah. So Ashton Kutcher has been helping you prank Dean.
Yeah.
Was it Ashton's idea to put the...
Ashton. Ashton. Ashton Kutcher. Ashton Kutcher hasn't been the funniest man in the world in fucking years, Dave. Will you catch up?
Sorry.
Ashton.
Was it his idea to put the patent in this Dean's name?
No, that was my idea. Okay. And then when I saw how much money he was making from it, unsurprisingly, because I thought, who's going to want to buy a machine that helps you speak to animals?
Well, no, you knew that it was going to be valuable.
I anticipated, that there'd be some interest, but the surge is really beyond anything I could have thought. So, I then got on to Ashton. We met outside a courthouse. We were there for our boy. And we got talking, and I said, I'm after making an absolute royal mess of this thing. I've come up with this life-changing device. I've given the credit to my friend because I'm mad at him for not giving me a tenner. And I even just said, it's not that. I didn't mind paying. I did not mind paying. Okay, clearly did. But All he had to do was say thanks, or when I said I paid for breakfast, he just went, okay. He didn't say thank you.
Well, hang on, let's put that
hold
to
on now. Hold
why
on
didn't
now.
You say, why didn't you thank
him? Hold on, he says I said okay, but I said it in a nice way. I was like,
you
okay.
You were looking at your phone.
I was looking at my phone.
I'm not your breakfast butler.
How did you say it?
I said, okay.
No, that's far too musical. See, I was already clicking my fingers at that, the way he said it there.
Yeah.
If you'd have done that...
Dean has a... You know, that's to do with your brain difficulties. Did you...
Well, how did you think he said it, Dean?
Okay. Said it like that, like droopy dog.
Yeah, that almost sounded sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're saying you were like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's hard, because...
And I was looking at my phone. Why was I looking at my phone?
Probably because, checking out Ashton Kutcher's latest Larry's tweets.
Because I was on the app to pay for the whole breakfast myself. And then I stopped before I pressed it because Dean said, I've paid for breakfast. And I was like, okay.
Nope. It's a real Dean said situation here because I don't know who's telling the truth.
You were on your phone, but you were just writing 8 plus 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 8. That's all you're doing was adding 8 to 8 to 8.
Yeah, well, I was trying to figure out the bill.
Oh yeah,
everything in that breakfast place costs €8. Yeah.
I'm sorry, do you know what? I think I jumped to a conclusion there. Dean,
I should have been more clear.
Can we?
You should have said thanks. I mean, okay is not a no matter what tone you say it in. You should have said okay, thanks.
It's like if I was to propose to somebody and I said, "Will you make me the happiest man?"
Well, I don't think thanks is the appropriate.
Yeah. Okay, will you marry me? Okay, that works.
Thanks.
You can say okay.
Thanks doesn't work. Oh,
okay, yeah. But not
but
to
not,
this.
Yeah, thanks.
Right. So. It turns out these
pranks.
Lobbies aren't after you. It was just him and Ashton Kutcher.
He's just more pranks on me with Ashton Kutcher. Well, how is he going to convince Ashton Kutcher to stop now?
I'll just give Ashton a quick shout now. Do you mind if I just...
Yeah, dial him in. Yeah.
Boop, boop, boop. Ash Attack!
Hey, brother, how are you?
What's going on? How's your Mickey?
Oh, swinging. Swinging high, swinging low.
Oh, class. You know your man, Dean, the guy who wouldn't thank me for breakfast.
Oh, so yes, brother.
I put his name on a patent that's made him very wealthy, and you know, the target of our pranks, yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking we might back off a bit, because it turns out he actually... indicated an okay that was a positive okay when I told him that I'd paid for breakfast.
Okay.
And if I can jump in, he had been attempting to pay for the breakfast himself.
Hold on a second there. What was that? Ashton said okay in a kind of weird way. I don't know what that meant.
Ashton said
okay. What my okay meant?
Yeah.
My okay was like, oh... Great, you know, super psyched for you. Great that you guys are friends. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. See,
I don't know what
genuine.
That is. I don't know what that is now, Dave. Is that...
What are you worried that it would be?
That he's being sarcastic.
Are you being sarcastic, Ashton?
Okay.
I mean, I'm looking out my window right now.
I understand.
I'm looking out my window right now and Wilbur Valderrama is staring me down, Dave.
Who?
Wilbur Valderrama.
Fez
from that 70s show. He's staring me out of it, Dave.
Okay.
I'm worried.
Any idea why he's there? Anyone? I'll just throw that out generally.
I have no idea, Ashton?
Well, we'd already lined up a couple of pranks,
okay.
Right, Dean?
Yeah. All right, this is imminent.
So I'm thinking about 20 seconds, you're going to get a pretty squishy willy up against your window.
Oh, my God, that's not Wilbur's. That's a whale's, Mickey.
We paid a whale to flash you.
Well, sorry, why is Wilbur there? Is he just helping out?
He's a whale. He loves whales.
Oh, he's like a whale wrangler?
Oh, he's just watching.
He thought it was, he just, if you found out that there's going to be a big whale flashing the man.
Yeah, he was in Dublin as well. He's
in town.
Yeah, he's like a great grandmother who's from Cavan, so I think that was sort of part of
it.
Yeah.
Have you seen the whales, Mickey, there?
I mean, it's all I can see.
Okay, yeah.
The light is blocked out.
Yeah.
From my window.
Yeah.
It's cracking the panes of glass.
Okay, well,
it's coming at me. It's coming at me, Dave.
That will come
it's
at
coming
you.
Through the window. It's moving towards me now.
Quickly, Dave. Quickly. All right, Dean, offer to buy a breakfast.
Do you want breakfast?
You got punked!
What?
You got punked!
You got punked.
Oh, is that Wilbur?
I don't know. Was it?
I don't know. Shit. Okay. Well. Yeah. I guess I'll just live with a whale's Mickey now.
Well, listen. The good thing is, Dean, you've got a lot of money, so you can move somewhere else. You can get fix that window. You can pay. What was the other guy's name?
Wilbur Valderrama.
You can pay him to get rid of the whale. You know, you've got a lot of options here.
Okay. All right, yeah. No,
I
fair
would
enough.
Suggest you change your identity and go into hiding, though, because those other lobby groups, especially after they've heard this, they're going to be after you in a big way. And that's going to be more serious than Ashton Kutcher playing pranks on you.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Can you change, like, a patent?
Can you change a patent? I don't know.
All right.
But, like, why would you change it? It's already made you a lot of money.
Yeah, well, I got loads of money now. I just pass it back to Dean.
Yeah, no, I don't think... Oh, you mean sign it over to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do that, I think.
Don't you dare.
Yeah, because...
No, listen.
Because you have all the money.
I've got all the money. Yeah, well, yeah. I got loads of money, you know. I'm sure there's more money coming. It's an invention, which...
Dean, do you want the patent
you can
back?
Speak to animals.
No, no.
But what about all the money? There's more money to be made.
No, I can't. I make and lose a fortune every day, so it doesn't. The money doesn't affect me. But what I really want is my friendship with Dean back.
Oh, okay.
That's what I really want.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm happy to do that. Happy to do that once we just sign over this patent,
sure.
And we'll be the best of friends again. Should you survive?
Sure. Yeah. Well, like I suggest that maybe we embark on a new friendship with a third, pretty awesome partner in this friendship who wears baseball caps. A bit askew, shall we say?
All right.
I'm talking about my main man.
Okay.
The Kutch.
I'm down. Well,
so you could have a three-way patent
that
you all own, and that way it, like, you know, limits the...
Mutual destruction.
Yeah.
Destruction.
And if you're in with Ashton, come on, they're never going to be able to touch you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's such a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's untouchable at this point.
Blemish.
There's not his own blemish record recently.
Yeah. Okay.
And didn't he get... I think he was robbed for that Oscar for when he's played Steve...
Steve Jobs.
Yeah. He was robbed. Who won that year? Because I know he was nominated.
Ashton, you'd probably know, would you?
Yeah,
I've blacked it out.
I think it was Kurtwood Smith.
Kurtwood Smith?
Yeah, he played the dad in that 70s show. I think he won that year.
He won the Oscar. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Played Red.
Yeah, I think...
He didn't win it for playing Red.
No,
he didn't win it for playing Red.
Reds.
It's all about Red. I never saw it.
Red Foreman.
Is that like a prequel?
Yeah, I think it is. Okay. And there's lots of Reds, because there's... It's in the title, Reds.
Yeah. It's like his dad or his brother or something.
Yeah, it's probably like a load of Kurtwood Smiths.
Cool. It's like a Being John Malkovich kind of situation, but with the father from that 70s show. Cool. All right, we'll have to all check that film out because none of us have ever heard of it. But thank you, guys. Thank you all for phoning it in.
Okay.
If you like this show, please support it. The best way to do that is by leaving a review for the show on iTunes, posting about us on social media, or just telling some friends about the show. If you can afford it, you can also support the show financially through Headstuff Plus. For a small monthly fee, you'll get access to a heap of bonus content from every single show on the Headstuff Network, including this one. If you can afford it, head on over to Headstuff Plus and sign up today. My special guest joining me in the studio today is Darren Carmody, a space enthusiast who discovered something out of this world on a beach in Port Marnock. Darren, what did you discover on the beach?
Good morning. I was out for a walk with my lovely dog, Jess, and I discovered a piece of extraterrestrial matter.
Matter? What was this matter?
Well, I believe it was the equivalent of a condom in our world.
Right.
An alien prophylactic.
Prophylactic, right.
Right.
And how did you know that that's what it was?
Oh, it was obvious immediately to me, David. It was clear as day that this was not a prophylactic from this domain.
Now, when you say it was clear as day, do you mean the prophylactic was clear as day?
Yes.
As in, it was completely translucent?
It was very translucent.
Right, okay.
But within the liquid, for me, looked entirely extraterrestrial.
In what way?
There was a real glow and a hue.
A hue? What kind of hue? What colour?
Sort of a your classic kind of alien green.
Okay, a green glowing hue.
Yes.
To the liquid, we'll say, that was inside the prophylactic.
Yes. Now, I don't know what language they use for this in their own species.
Sure.
But I would call it a prophylactic in sort of English human language.
Yeah.
But look, this is incredible. This is a huge deal for us in this community. We've never seen this before. We weren't sure how they procreate,
yep.
How they stop procreation. Do they control the species in the same way that we do?
Mm.
And now we know. And it's, it's something fantastic for the city, for the country.
It's huge, if it's true. But how can we verify what you've discovered? Like, couldn't it have been kids playing a joke and they put some slime into a Johnny or whatever?
Dave, you're being fantastical now.
No, I'm just saying, like, you haven't proved this yet. This is just a theory.
Well, it's a theory with a lot of evidence backing it up, if you ask me. There wasn't just the prophylactic. Mm-hmm. There was also a rock beside it, which mm-hmm. gave me the sense that, you know, this had come down in a meteor shower, which we're very used to here in Dublin now.
Right.
So what my, I suppose, theory would be is that the prophylactic got attached to a piece of meteoric matter and it landed onto the beach.
You don't think the prophylactic would have burned up in the atmosphere?
No, I don't, because I know with the aliens, often they are quite high temperature beings.
Yes.
So they would have had a sort of a flame retardant nature to their prophylactics. Yeah. And I tried to set it on fire and it didn't go on fire. And I tasted the cum. And it tasted very alien-like.
Right. Well, are you not worried that that could be dangerous, though?
No, I've had a real pep in my step ever since.
Right. What did it taste like?
It tasted like alien cum would taste, you'd imagine. Sort of like sherbet.
Sherbet? Like what flavour, or just kind of sweet?
There's a sweetness to it and a tartness to it, and both.
Interesting. Okay, well, I've got callers on the line. They're really fascinated in your story. First of all, I have Sean from Virgin Media. Sean, what?
Hello. God, thank God I've got through. Listen, what's the name of your caller there?
Darren.
Yeah, I'm willing to sign this. Whatever this is, I want. We're going to make 6-hour-long documentaries about this condom on the beach, because this is incredible. This is an incredible story. Please don't reveal anything more to Dave now, because we are so excited about this.
No, this is my story. Listen, Dave. I have Darren on
please,
the show.
Darren, listen. Whatever you do, don't reveal any more. We want to go back into it. This is groundbreaking stuff, and this is going to be on Mexican TV in no time.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Like, we'll get you in a Mexican court with that condom. Have you still got that condom on you?
I have it now in a glass box.
Okay, don't drink any more of it. Yeah, I know you'd be tempted to drink it.
No, I have it in the fridge.
But keep that condom still and ready. And we
Why
are
do you
really
need to go
ready
to
go.
To a Mexican court?
Mexican court. Mexico's where it's at, man. They're showing all the alien stuff now.
But this is interesting, because this has come at a time of increased alien activity, alien discussion.
Yeah,
so we did have
those bodies in
Mexico.
Yeah,
we had the other meteorite on Port Myers Beach.
Meteorite on Port Myers Beach that left a hole.
The guy from
like,
the US.
Like, what are the chances of a rock falling from space and leaving a hole that just looks like two lads dug it out with a spade? That's incredible.
Yeah,
it cannot be just a normal meteorite. It must be some kind of alien device.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have that power.
Yeah.
Think about that. Oh my God, I'm so excited. My heart is going 90, Dave. I'm just
thrilled by this whole thing. I can help you with this, and maybe there's a producer credit.
A million.
Dave,
I'm giving you a million. I'm giving Darren a million. We're all going in this together.
Okay,
this
great.
This is going to be making Virgin Media.
Okay.
Now, we are on the rocks here, and you are digging us out of a big hole with this
A big hole that could have been made by a meteorite.
Could have been made by
space.
A meteorite.
Maybe the Virgin Media
finances are all alien design, Dave. That could be part
us.
Of it.
Let's roll that in.
That's got to be an episode. That's got to be worth an episode at least, for Christ's sake.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
This is great.
We're
going to make a lot of money. I do have another caller on the line. He's the chairperson for Putting Slime in Johnny's Society. I'm guessing he's here to disavow any knowledge of the condom
Yeah. It can't be anything to do with him. It can't be anything to do with this society.
What's your name?
Beeb.
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 Is that short for something or
no? whole name.
That's the whole name.
Last name.
Just nothing. It's just Beeb.
Okay, cool. So Beeb, you're the chairperson for putting slime in Johnny's society.
Alien name I've ever heard.
That sounds like a fun society to be a part of, because I know sometimes I'm out jogging somewhere and I see a Johnny and there's residue in it, and I'm like, is that real? Or is that a joke?
Yeah, we're trying to make life a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
So we get Johnny's, we put green goo into some of them.
Oh, is it always green?
It's usually green. Well, we just get goo, and if you leave it out overnight, as you all know, goo left out overnight turns green.
Oh, I did not know
that's
that.
That's how you make
Surely
fire.
It depends what kind of... Okay, all right.
It's just to do with the potency. I'm sure our society, we're trying to teach kids how to make slime and goo.
Yes.
And hopefully, you know, making sure that generations, years to come, are putting green goo into condoms and just throwing them hither, thither, or yearn.
Yeah. So when I would be out jogging and I see a condom and there's goo in it, but it's not green, there's two things that could be. It's just been put out by one of your people and needs to turn green overnight, or it's the real deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a real deal.
Okay.
And that's the mystery, which is it going to be?
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
Okay. 1 million.
What?
1 million for this story. This is incredible. This is incredible. This is an episode. Dave, this has got
to
be an episode.
And it's like me and five other divorced
Yeah, but who's
men.
Telling them to, what to do it? You
we're
know?
Trying to quit smoking, so we do this instead. We just go.
Every time you want to have a cigarette, instead you go out and put some goo in a condom and throw it in the bushes.
Yeah, no, we make the goo condom-y. We make that at home.
Yeah.
And then we go out and we throw it around.
Okay, yeah.
And we go down the beach, and this is why we're so excited to hear about this.
This is the thing. Because this could have been one of yours.
No way. But
we didn't see,
did you see the aliens doing this?
We didn't. It is on our route, though. It is usually where we would. So we would have seen aliens. But at the same time, if they were very quick.
Okay, they can wipe minds. It seems like they can wipe minds, Dave. If the lads didn't see this, then the aliens must have some kind of power. Now, Darren, you're an expert on this kind of thing. I just want to ask you, Darren, is my penis an alien?
Are you getting green goo?
There's goo's coming out of it. It's definitely goo. It's not green yet, but, you know. That's something.
I would get checked out. That could be more likely than an alien invasion of your penis. I would say that sounds like chlamydia to me.
Chlamydia? Well,
or some kind of STI, I'd say, yeah.
Sounds grand to me. Just leave it.
Yeah, just leave it. Well, it only comes out at certain times.
Yeah.
Yeah, even
when
still.
When I get particularly excited.
I definitely get it checked out one way or the other.
Oh, great. Dave, That could be an episode, Dave. Can you come in and check out my penis and just watch the goo come out of it?
Nah, I think
we need
a doctor,
someone. We need a friendly face there to present this. And
I get
Dave
that.
Coffey could be the man to do it, you know?
I feel like a doctor.
The doctor will be doing it, but you'll just be talking through it. You'll just be watching it happen. You'll be like, okay, I can see the goo coming out now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So long as there's a doctor there.
Oh, the doctor will be there.
Dave not dress up as a doctor? Can we just get Dave like
no,
a lab
I think
coat,
you need a real doctor.
A stethoscope.
If this is a documentary.
You'll have all the gear on. Yeah. Because that helps me.
I don't mind being at a safe remove with a camera.
Yeah.
Talking to the camera, documenting what's happening while doctor and you
kind of beside it. Well, we need to get them both in the same shot because we can only afford one camera, Dave.
Yeah,
so we
want
to get the reaction.
Kind of like that shot from, you know that shot
I'll
from
bring
the
a second camera.
Where you see Justin Hoffman, she puts her leg up.
She puts her leg up, you can see.
It was something where you were trying to get this goo out and Dave is framed much like Justin Hoffman.
Yeah.
He's there one hand.
Watching me.
Yeah, watching.
Have you got was he wearing a corduroy jacket?
Yeah.
I have a corduroy jacket.
Okay. Well, that might look nice then.
Okay, so that's one episode we're definitely going to... explore that.
Is my...
I do want to
penis
come back.
An alien, yeah.
It feels to me you've gone a little bit away from the alien experience towards...
Well, my penis could be an alien. Like, this is what we're talking about, Darren, and you're the expert here.
That's
so
a good title.
My penis could be an alien.
Yeah. My penis could be an alien. Dave witnesses ecstasy. That could be another one. Or you could call it both. Yeah.
Subtitle.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd need to do it a few times just to get the verification.
Yeah, but we do need to verify this alien profile.
I have already. I told you.
How? Just by tasting it?
Through the medium of taste.
Yeah, but couldn't that be one of your goos?
No, ours all tastes of strawberry. So you would well,
strawberry,
say,
you did say sweet.
I said sherbety.
Sherbety, yeah. Strawberry and sherbet, there's thin line.
There's no way. Nah. That's ridiculous, Dave. Nah. Look.
Dave, you're going to need to go down there and watch Darren taste this stuff. Yep. That's the only way
well,
we
we'll
can do
this.
We'll
bring a camera, obviously.
We'll bring a camera. Yeah. We'll get Darren in the foreground, kind of blurry. Yeah. Him tasting the goo. You in the background, some kind of corduroy jacket on, just witnessing the whole thing.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, we can do that. Darren, this is obviously going to make you into a huge celebrity worldwide.
Yes.
Are you prepared for that?
I'm excited about that, David. Yeah, I'm very excited about that because... Look, it's not about me. It's actually not about me. But I want to be the voice of the aliens. Who's speaking for them?
Yeah.
And
what do you think? Speak for them now. What do they want to say to us based on your intimate knowledge?
Let me channel here, Dave.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's still in my system. I tasted the cum just this morning, so I feel a sense of connection to them.
Okay, what is that? What is that technical word you use there?
Channel.
Cum. What is that? Does that stand for something?
Oh, well, in human speak, that's spoof, spunk.
Oh, okay, right. Okay,
yeah.
We'll.
Sexy juice.
Sexy juice. That could be a title.
Yeah, it's a great title. More of an album, I think, than a documentary, but.
Okay, well, you can work on that, Dave. We'll capture that. We'll get you in the studio. I'm willing to invest $1 million in you producing an album.
Would it be like a drum and bass thing?
Amazing.
Drum and bass.
Drum and bass. Yeah. Whatever you want, Dave.
Well, could Darren do some vocals on it?
Oh, Darren's vocals are going to be all over this thing.
Yeah.
And Darren could get some, you know, like channel the aliens.
Well, let's see if you can channel them now.
Love each other. I didn't even know that was going to come out of me.
What did you say?
It's coming. Love each other.
Kilpatrick Kildee.
No, I think it was love each other.
What? No, you're nuts. Say it again.
Love each other.
It's something about Kildee. Right?
I don't think it was about Kildee.
Seems like it's about Kildee. I wonder what he's got to do with this thing.
I don't know. What did you hear,
Brenda?
Darren?
Get Kildee on the phone.
I blacked out. There was Patrick some men.
Patrick Kildee, offer him whatever he wants. He's got to be in this documentary.
That's.
Yeah, I got him. He's very easy to get.
Okay, great.
What do you want to say?
We're making a documentary about aliens jizzing on the beach, and we need to know why they want to kill him.
Okay. Million, great.
Okay, you got Patrick. Patrick's in. Darren, why do you think they want to kill Patrick Kielty?
Oh, I don't know. I think.
Or was it something about love? I don't know.
I don't. I to be honest, I just black out when that happens. This is new for me to channel him.
This is great.
I if it's the Patrick Kielty thing, I think you know he came on the knee on the Late Late. Yeah. He was very offensive. Oh, he was.
Oh, was he?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe offensive. Maybe they saw that and they didn't like it.
Oh.
Or maybe they're just big Ryan Tubridy fans.
That makes more sense to me.
Well, look, we have a recording of it, but we're not going to bother listen back to it because we all heard. This thing about Patrick Kielty, right?
Yeah. Well, you seem to hear something else, Dave, and I want to get into all of that stuff. So, listen, if you're willing to sign a confession, we'll give you money.
Absolutely, I will. I'll do anything for the money. Oh, wait. We have Kielty. Patrick Kielty, he's on the line.
How's that about you? How are you doing?
How you doing, Patrick?
You're keeping good. I hear the aliens are on to me now.
Yeah, congratulations on the Late Late Show.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Differing opinions on how the first show went.
Well, look, you can say you didn't like it or whatever, but the good news is I'm not Brendan O'Connor.
That's true.
That's a good thing. I heard the aliens are out to get me.
Apparently.
You know, they were never out to get Ryan, so that's a huge, great.
Are you worried? Mm.
No. That's
I mean, everyone was out to get Ryan.
Yeah. But like the markets for the aliens, that could be huge for me.
Well, you're already in a million from Virgin.
He's not as parochial, I suppose, as Ryan. So he's appealing to
a broader audience.
I'm married to Cat Deely.
Yeah.
Her?
Yeah.
I'm married to her. So she's a big star.
And so you've broadened the appeal of the Late Late Show to an extraterrestrial level, it seems.
That's fair.
And they sent down a Johnny It's kind of a long story, but they sent down a Johnny and I tasted it and they had a message in the Johnny for you.
And what was
Keelty, you stay away. Keelty, don't try and book Darren for the late, late now to talk about tasting a Johnny on the beach.
You don't tell me what
no,
to do.
This is our story, Keelty.
You fucking arsehole. I've been told about you. I've been warned against you. You're always going around trying to scoop our, guests for $1 million. That's why we've got no good guests on.
Why the two Johnnies are on?
That's why the two Johnnies are on.
Two Johnnies were on.
Both the two Johnnies.
The first show was Mary McAleese, the two Johnnies, and Tommy Tiernan.
There's a great story about
They really went for it on the guest front.
Okay, yeah.
First about out.
How did they manage to get those other RTE presenters to be on there? It's incredible.
I heard a very sad story about these two guys went to the doctor and said, "Doctor, I'm so depressed." And the doctor said, "Well, you know what you should do? You should go and see the two Johnnies. That'll cheer you up."
Yeah.
And the guy said, "Doctor, I am the two Johnnies."
Right.
Terrible. Okay. Tragedy. Tragic story.
Yeah. Because everyone would have thought they're so... they're so happy-go-lucky, but it turns out this one person was two people and it was the two Johnnies.
Genius can be a burden.
Yeah. Well, you'd know that, Patrick. I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank all my callers today, but I especially want to thank Kate Feeney, Mark Canton, and Giles Brody. Folks, do you have anything you want to plug?
When is this coming out, Dave?
This is coming out on the 25th of September.
25th of September. So on the end of this week, the 29th and the 30th, we are doing histrionics in the Little Museum of Dublin. So that's a mix of history and improv. So we have a real historian on, Kate Trenan, who's going to be telling us a real story from history that we've never heard before. And we're going to try and recreate it in the moment. And we get everything wrong and we exaggerate all kinds of things and it ends up very funny.
Do you have any special guests joining
you? Sure we do, Dave. We have a couple of comedians who are going to come on and talk about history as well. So we have Kevin Larney and we have John Spillane.
Hey,
love
those two.
Those are great guys.
Cool.
Tickets on the Little Museum of Dublin's website.
Amazing.
Come on down.
Charles, Jim, Evan, you want to plug?
I don't.
Okay.
I will say this, Histrionics, really good show. And Kate, go see Kate, she's great.
Kate, have you got any shows you want to plug?
Well, actually, on this very day, if you're listening to this immediately, I will be in Cherry Comedy. Neil Delamere is going to be on, and Dave McSavage, and me.
And Mob, just give a blanket plug for Mob.
Absolutely, every Thursday in Wigwam.
And yeah, they're great. And I have a gig, I just remembered, I don't remember what day it is. So yeah, just look it up.
Google Giles Brody. Giles
don't Google Giles Brody because there's another Giles Brody and he's bloody killing me for the SEO. But just look me up on Instagram at Giles Brody and I'll let you know when I've got gigs coming up.
Amazing.
Nice.
Thank you guys. Thank you to the Head Stuff Podcast Network for having us and to Bobby Hearn for our theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
Yay.
Okay. Woo. Phoning it in.
If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
Pow, pow, pow.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.